in the Christian tradition, we normally do not refer to folk as saints until after they die. So to be a saint is a little fraught, right? If we celebrate someone on this day, they're gone from us. And most of us don't really like to think about death or consider it. Death is kind of scary. Life can be pretty great. And death isn't something that we can sort of try on for size and learn how to navigate through a YouTube video, although I wouldn't put it past YouTubers to try. Grief gets us. We can't just learn how to navigate any of it and do it. We have to experience it day by day. So thinking about being a saint and having saints in our lives is both fills us with gratitude and also sadness. We want to be good and godly people, and we also do not want to die, and we definitely don't want our loved ones to die. And yet, to live in faithfulness is to hold life and death in each hand to balance and inspire us. Today, as a church, we attempt to do that, to hold life and death in each hand, to remember those who have been promoted to glory, as the Salvation Army Church puts it, and I love how they put it that way. These imperfect people who are made saintly by God's grace and their belonging to God. We light candles, we pray, we laugh, we cry. Make no mistake, if this church lasts long enough, each of you will have a candle here one day. You will go from serving on committees and singing in the choir and being remembered and eulogized and a member of the company of the saints of light. And as macabre as that is, it is inspiring and motivating to remember our mortality. A few weeks ago, I saw a video of a cyclist who had a GoPro on, and he was trying to outpace a grizzly bear. It must have been in Alaska or something. There's no grizzly bears in Texas, thanks be to God. But you could see this enormous bear whenever he shot a glance over his shoulder. And then you saw ahead of him, the trail that he was just hurtling down. And he flew down that trail as that bear barreled behind him. It was very motivating. But in all seriousness, being alive can be a heavy business. It's not all bear races. There is pain, disappointment, so much that we cannot control. And as I read the Revelation text this week and prayed and reflected and studied it, I thought, look at these people being referred to as going through the great ordeal. I thought, isn't that life the great ordeal? We're living it now, surrounded by so much that is out of line from the reign of God, even as we know that our job as Christians is to bring it, saints and sinners that we are. I think that the gift of days like today is being inspired by that and holding that tension and walking step by step in faithfulness. I think it would be easy for a lot of us, speaking about myself here, to just throw up our hands and give up on our own sainthood, right? It's easier for us to imagine the sainthood of others. But we have fallen short. We know all the ways we fall short. We've made big mistakes, big. We have lost our cool, and we did not go outside and take a moment, like Nora so helpfully suggested. We've put ourselves first. We've withheld forgiveness. We've miscalculated and misspoke and misstepped. We have sinned and fallen short of the reign of God. What a mess we have made, and we know it. But the promise of Scripture is not just for those who we love and who have gone before us and who we can remember and eulogize. It is for us. And it beckons us out of our own self-loathing and self-pitying ways. And it reminds us of the inclusiveness of God's table, of the eradication of evil that is for, yes, the entire universe and for me, for you. We have this belonging in God, not just as members here at a particular church, but as Christ's own forever, children of God. The Sermon on the Mount reminds us, children of God, mortals, mess ups that we are, that this too shall pass. If you are suffering right now, it will not last. If you are hurting, it will not last. In like manner, if you are enjoying incredible success right now, you guessed it will not last. Your best days end, your most favorite restaurant closes, and you can never replicate that exact meal that you loved. Your childhood home is plowed under to make way for condos. Not one stone of this beautiful church will remain one day. It will be a thin strip in the strata, a geological trace of what used to be. And with these words, Jesus was not issuing a threat. He was issuing a promise and a wake-up call that there are gifts in everything. The place you are is not permanent. So what matters is the way you embrace and live in what you have been given in each moment. I read a beautiful article this week by Anne Lamott, who's one of my favorite authors, about the grief and the acceleration of loss as one gets older. I remember my grandmother telling me when she was in her 90s that she couldn't even list all the people that she had loved and lost at that point in her life. So many that she held so dear had become saints in God. So Anne Lamott said that a friend of hers, Father Terry Ritchie, spoke to how to pursue meaning in this life that is so short. And he said, it is not about trying harder, but it's about resisting less. Survivalists say that the worst thing you can do in an emergency situation is panic. Panic is a fear response. It's a dramatic and terrifying attempt to resist whatever is happening, right? They say that people who are inebriated do better in car accidents because they don't brace themselves for impact. Their body is loose. Your brain is gone from you when you panic. If you drive your car into a lake, if you are drowning, if the plane is going down, if you've been stabbed in the neck, or shot, your best chances of survival is not to panic, but instead to have a clear mind and rely on training or wisdom that you have garnered in more calm moments. Put your own oxygen mask on first. Do not use your energy to try and struggle if something is pulling you under. And horrifyingly, and I still can't get my head around this, wait to get out of the vehicle until it's fully submerged by water. And any other survival techniques, ask Joel. He's a firefighter. He knows how to survive any circumstance. Thankfully, most of our hardships are not being chased by a grizzly bear or driving our cars into a lake or anything like that. But they still can be met without resistance. They can still be met with curiosity. Yes, we wish we were not in grief, but we are. So what can we do here? Yes, we wish that we had not gotten that diagnosis, but we have. So how do we journey it most faithfully? Yes, we wish we could fix the problems of those we love the most, but we can't. So how can we show up and accompany them wherever they are? Life is the great ordeal, and we're in it. This is a beautiful message that can be garnered from the Sermon on the Mount, that where you are and what you do there matters, and it's fleeting, that how you accept it in each moment and how you respond to it is what makes you a saint, that we're blessed as we stop resisting the places we are in and instead think, I am experiencing this in this moment. God is with me. How can I make a difference? How can I live in peace. These people on the candles this year were humans who have traded the great ordeal for the presence of God. And each of them were lovely and inspiring, and we loved them. Each of them faced their own griefs and hardships and joys. Maureen would tell me of how she learned to walk again after suffering polio and being paralyzed. How she started walking around her house, they told her that she'd never walk again. Fred shared his deep grief and loneliness after losing his beloved. Craig almost died in a car crash before he married Betty. Can you imagine? Doris's daughters inspired me with the stories of their resilience and loving mom. You too will be commemorated here one day. Your story will be someone else's to tell. Your legacy will be that which you leave to your loved ones, not of what you accomplished, big things, a legacy or something, but the ways in small circumstances and disappointments and joys that you brought the rain. That sounds heavy, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's just to put one faithful foot in front of the other, day by day.